Good to see you all. So we're going to continue this morning with what we started last week. Last week we started in Luke chapter 10. Again, the story of Martha and Mary. I thought January being the beginning of the year, it would be good to focus on Christ and to focus, to find ourselves at the feet of Jesus to get the right setting, right bearing for the rest of the year. And last week, if I may remind you briefly, in Luke chapter 10, Jesus was at the house of Martha and Mary, where Martha was serving and Mary was sitting at the foot of Jesus and listening. It says listening. And she was admiring the glory of Christ, and she was just there. And Martha comes along and says to Jesus, "Lord, don't you care? Aren't you going to tell my sister to get up and help me? Are you going to let her sit there?" To which Jesus answered, said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things." Then he said, "Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." Right? And then we said, what is this, that better part? What is the one thing that is, he said, the one thing that Mary has chosen, that the better part. And we said, what is that better part that's better than serving Christ himself? Providing for him meal and getting up, being busy. And then we answered by saying, in that context of the story, it is better because that's the place where we find our identity, where we find to look at his face, where we learn from him and we get a direct impartation from him. We do not get about the nature of the person of Christ anywhere else except in his face in the pages of the scriptures. And so we said we learn the identity of the person whom we're serving, right? Who is the person? Caroline said this morning, she called him a teacher, a friend, and a master. And that's true. That's who he is. Each one of those dimensions communicates something about his attributes. If he's a teacher to me, and that's all he is, and that's how I would treat him. If he is a friend to me, and that's all he is, then that's how I would look at him. And if he's a master, which he is, that changes the whole thing, right? And today we find Martha and Mary again, except this time not in their home. It's at the home of a person named Simon the leper. And Simon, the story is also related to us in Matthew 26, verses 6 to 13, where Simon the leper, no doubt Jesus had previously healed him. So this party was to honor Christ, who had raised Lazarus from the dead. You see that story in John chapter 11, just one chapter before. And that was to honor him. You have Jesus, the two sisters, Lazarus, his disciples, and the family of Simon the leper. So you probably have somewhere around 15 to 20 people there. So in the middle of this party, the meal, Mary gets up, right? And then she walks over to Christ and she begins to anoint him with a very expensive perfume. So then the crowd reacts. The people begin to say, well, what's going on here? Why is this not sold? This perfume the perfume was worth 300 denarii, which is equivalent to a year's wage of a person's wage in those days. Somebody that would be a daily laborer would have earned 1 denarii a day. And so they were outraged. Why didn't we, why wasn't it sold and given to the poor, right? And our engagement with Christ to the disciples, they could not understand what Mary was doing, because Our engagement with Christ is entirely dependent of our understanding of who he is, which comes from sitting at his feet. Mary was sitting at his feet, knew who Christ was, right? It's a matter of revelation we receive as we sit at his feet. If we sit at his feet long enough, we have a perfect revelation, which is only imparted to us through him, right? And that changes everything. So I thought this morning, I wanted to talk about a couple of things quickly. Now, Mary understood the person of Christ, but who is this Jesus? Who is Jesus, right? It all changes. Everything depends, hangs on that understanding. Now, Jesus was no ordinary prophet. That's the first thing I want you to see. Jesus was no ordinary prophet. And the second thing we're going to look at is Mary was no ordinary woman either. She was an extraordinary worshiper. See, to Simon, Jesus might have been the one who has healed him, so he is a healer. So there were healers before Christ. There were healers. They were sitting at a party, a dinner table. There was a whole bunch of people. Everybody thought they were the same level as Christ. And Simon might have said, he is the one who healed me. He honored him that way. And to the disciples, Jesus might have been a prophet or a teacher or a healer or a miracle worker of some sort. Right? That's how they knew him. Because they have seen him walk on water. They've seen him resurrect Lazarus from the dead. They have seen him feed thousands of people. So that's their perception. But who was Jesus for Mary? That's a very important question for us to ponder on. Who was he? Right? See, he has a divine nature as well as a human nature. Jesus has been in their home a number of times. And they have fellowshipped with him. They have sat and broken bread with him. They know him. They know him. As a person, they have touched, they have sat, they laughed, they have sang with him. No doubt they have related with him at a personal level. But they have gone beyond. When their brother was sick to death, we see in chapter 11, the first person they could think of was Jesus himself. They knew. They said, Lord, the one whom you love is near to death. Come. They sent a message to him in chapter 11. Right? He came, though a few days later, after he has died and gone, been buried in the grave, he came. But he came, not only did he come, but he was there at his grave crying with Mary and Martha. Jesus cried. The shortest verse in the entire scripture is Jesus wept. Jesus wept. I think 11:35 or 36, you find that. And he has partook a fellowship with them at a human level. But it didn't stop there. Jesus went beyond that. He was the only one who could call a dead person, a decaying body, to come to life 4 days after he's been in the grave. He just spoke, Lazarus came out. That body has been decaying in the grave for 4 days. See, he was no ordinary prophet. Jesus is no ordinary prophet. He was God himself, incarnate. So she understood. She had a perfect knowledge of who Christ was. Now, Jesus is always surrounded with people. You have three types of people that surround people. Jesus. You have the Marthas. You have the Marys. Very few of the Marys. And you have the disciples. In each one of us, these three dimensions, three aspects are at work in every one of us. Sometimes I like to be busy like Martha. I find myself being busy. At times, I find myself sitting and learning as a disciple of Christ. And then sometimes I want to sit at his feet and worship. Just put on my CD and raise my hands and shout out loud in the basement where nobody can hear me, right? And or say, do crazy things, say crazy things, whatever comes to my mind, to him, relate with him, my pains, my concerns, my anxieties, all of those things, leave it right at his feet, worship him, and then submitting it to him. All of that is working. These are all working in each and every one of us. Every one of us have these three dimensions working in us. But all this begins with worship. All of it has to begin with worship. If we do not learn to worship, worship addresses the inner person. We are created to worship. If you don't find me here on Sunday morning, you will find me at the shopping mall, worshiping those towers over there, those big buildings. If I'm not here on Sunday, you'll find me elsewhere. Every one of us, whether we call ourselves Christians, believers, unbelievers, whatever we call, everyone has something to worship in their own ways, in their own means. See, it's through worship the Lord restores, touches our spirit, restores, refreshes, energizes, builds up that inner eternal soul of ours. Each one of us has that. We are not human doings, we are human beings. What separates each and every one of us from any other creation, is we have the capacity, we have the responsibility, the privilege to worship God, to relate with God. That creates, that within us, creates a sense of personhood. We are persons, right? That's very important that we address the soul. So, and that relationship with the person of Christ as the divine Christ gives us a sense of purpose in our worship life, right? The second thing I want to talk about is the fact that Mary was no ordinary person. She was an extraordinary person. What do we learn from Mary? If it wasn't for Mary, there is no story here. There is no story. If it was an ordinary dinner, there was no story to write about. The only reason John bothered to write to us is because of Mary. She got up to do something extraordinary, worthy of writing or noting. See? And in verse 3, we say, then Mary means she got up. Everybody else was sitting there, not understanding the significance, the eternal significance of the time. It was all food. It was all eating and drinking. To her, it was about worship. Always, Mary was always at the feet of Jesus. You find her. Even in chapter 11, when he came back, she simply said, Lord, if you have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Then she just bowed down. That's the only time you hear a beep out of Mary. Otherwise, you don't hear a single thing, right? Mary did not just give what she had. She gave herself, her reputation, her dignity. She gave all that she has, right? You remember the story of the pig and the chicken. And they were walking down the street. They came across a church where there was a fundraising dinner taking place. And the pig had an idea. It's a charity event. We can't just go by. And the pig said, we should do something. We should make a contribution. And the chicken said, great idea. Why don't we give them a ham and egg? And the pig said, wait a minute. You are making a contribution. This is a total commitment to me. Right? But the worship is a total commitment. Worship is the spirit, soul, and body bowing before the Lord. Our worship is our response to his mercy and his divine grace we receive. That's how we respond. The greatest response is worshiping. True worship, true worshipers change the atmosphere. Mary was a true worshiper. In the same verse, in verse 3, we read, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. It's astounding. When she got up to do something without a single word, the house was filled with the fragrance. Isn't that amazing? True worshipers, wherever they go, wherever they are, they always change the atmosphere. I want to say this. When we decide to worship, when we decide to spend time at the feet of Jesus, when we decide to lay it all before Him, there is always going to be opposition coming. We're going to face external and internal opposition. The external opposition would be people. Remember in Luke chapter 10, Martha was opposing Mary. She said, well, she's got to get up. And here we hear the opposition coming from the disciples of Christ. They said, what's going on here? This is not fair. This is not right. Don't do this. This is always going to have external oppositions. But I have a preaching partner this morning, so I present to you. Excuse me. So the internal... you okay? So we face resistance when we want to praise and worship Christ. The internal opposition comes from within our soul. Our soul does not like to rest, does not like to sit down, does not like to worship. It just wants it needs a stimuli. Our inner being is conditioned by stimuli. We are always receiving, hearing, and thinking, all of those. So we need to learn to calm our spirit down before the Lord. And that is the internal opposition that we face. Now we need to be able to quiet it down before we can actually able to appreciate, to value what the Lord is doing, what the Lord is saying. Okay? Now, how do we sit at His feet? I have a couple of quick suggestions. How do we... If I told you to sit, if I say the listening and worshiping is important, and then if I don't tell you how, that wouldn't be the complete story. A couple of quick suggestions I have. The first one is time and place. Time and place. We live in a three-dimensional world where everything is enveloped in time and space. If we do not make time, if we do not make place, it never happens. Nothing happens without time and place, have you noticed? You have to have time, or you have to be somewhere, or else nothing happens. So in Mark 1:35, in the morning time, while it was still very dark, He, Christ, got up and went out to a deserted place. And there He prayed. The Creator of the universe, the one who said, let it be, the one who is the agency of creation, needed time to worship His Heavenly Father, to relate to with His Heavenly Father. It's extremely important for us to have time and place. And now, the second thing I'd like to suggest is, how do we sit at His feet? That we need time and place. When we sit, I like to suggest quietly with the Bible at hand, alone and with others. Sometimes we're alone, sometimes with others. Once we make time and place, we grab one of these, often in the spirit of listening and contemplation. And I see many of you have a good spiritual discipline. I didn't want to belabor this point. I'm not one of those. I like to keep my preaching towards what the Scripture is saying rather than the application aspect of it, because many of you have developed good spiritual practices. I see the Spirit of Christ in you, Spirit of peace working in you. But if there be one thing I would suggest is to grab the Bible and to interact with the through the Scriptures to hear His voice, to hear His presence, to experience His presence. The calming effect of the Spirit of Christ is tremendous. It is a great deal. So it's very important for us to do that. So we learn to quiet our soul, to quiet, just simmer down, to let it down, and do nothing, have nothing other than to sit at His feet, and then to have a time alone. There's got to be a time alone. If you don't practice solitude, solitude is a place where it is, it's not alone. It is, solitude is not alone. Solitude is someone important. An audience of one is there. The audience of one where you and him, he is diagnosing your heart, where nobody is listening, where you are transparent, where you are opening up totally, and submitting, letting go, admitting, opening up your weaknesses, vulnerabilities, all the struggles in life, fears and anxieties, letting to him. He is watching, he's listening. That is the audience of one. With others, it's important, a dialogue or conversation through the scriptures, not through other means, but through the scriptures is where we begin. I hear what Phyllis saying the other day, and the Spirit of God was ministering to me as she was saying, because I was listening, sitting under her feet. She was talking and listening. So there has got to be that. When we get together, not only to eat together, but to fellowship with the Word. That's extremely important. I think I am done. I want to ask you to close your eyes and just practice something simple. Let's all bow our heads before the Lord, and just for a minute, a very quick minute, just settle our spirit and quiet. Close our eyes and hear the Spirit of Christ speaking to us. Just quietly allow, through the story of Mary, what is it that you gain, what is it that you learned from this story about the attitude of Mary. We're going to have a discussion later on, but for now, I thought, just sit under his feet.